the beginning of the year, the Lord said to us, look, I'm about to do a new thing. After he said to us, return to your first love. And ever since, we've also camped around being known for love, which is a theme that is not a year theme. It's not a season theme. It's a every year theme for a Christian, to be known for love. And out of that, a beautiful word came through Liana from Rondebosch, speaking into our church community of being kingsmen redeemers. In other words, being agents of change. Doing the agent work of Jesus Christ and bringing redemption to other people. Johan then shared about being fishers of men. And God came after a public tongue from, was Cecilia, I think, just broke out one Sunday morning. And a cry came for the lost. And the Lord said, hey guys, pray for the harvest. For the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. So let's pray for the workers so that we can go into the harvest field. So the Lord has been very clear prophetically, I believe, this year in speaking these things to us. And Stephen beautifully shared last week about coming face to face with God. In other words, being plugged in. Because if we're not plugged into the Lord, it's not much that you can give to the lost. Is it? There's not much you can give to somebody if they're hungry but your cupboard's empty. Who's ever been in a situation where somebody will ask you for 2 rand or 3 rand next to the road but you honestly just have a credit card? I think maybe sometimes we as Christians, we get caught out like that. People come hungry, they come thirsty, but you just have a card. It's actually full of debt at the moment. I don't have much cash on me. And so the Lord is maybe just stirring us as a people, not only to see them and see the people that He needs to love on, that He wants to redeem, spaces and places of darkness where He wants to go in, as we proclaimed this morning. But in working with Him, what are we going to give and what are we going to share? I'm going to pray for us and I'm going to usher us into what I believe is just a new theme that the Lord wants to share with us in the last part of this year. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I thank you. Jesus, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that you bring my soul and my heart and my everything to life. You make everything, you bring sense to everything in this crooked and skew world. You give hope and you stir faith. And you make plain and simple eternity to our hearts in moments like this, and we thank you for that. God, thank you for impartation this morning. Thank you for the word that came in intercession that a sword will come. A sword will come, Lord, and pierce, but in a godly, good way. Thank you that you will come and anoint him and empower us as your people. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, I've just been mulling through this, is that, yes, the Lord said, go to the lost, and he says, love on people, and go into the harvest. But the bottom line is, it's just, what are we supposed to give? What is it that we are supposed to give? Maybe that can just pose that question quickly. What is it that we can give? If somebody should come to your neighbor, somebody prayed, Saul prayed for his neighbor this morning, but what is it that you're going to give somebody if you should talk to them? What is it that you give them? What will you share with them? New life. What they need. I like that. What else? Just be very practical. You can be all super spiritual, but what are we going to give them? Time. That's a very good one. Some food. Yeah. The truth. Yeah. Good news. Sounds very nice. It's just to unpack it. How would you share the good news with somebody? What would you share with them? Testimony, yes. Have you ever been in a place where you think, I don't really have something to give? Anybody, any honest person around here? Lord, I love the lost. I want them all to be saved, but I'm not sure how to go about it. And what should I be giving to them? And today, I would just want to come and, I believe the Lord is challenging my heart, but I want to come and just trust that the Lord will encourage us to not just have this nice idea, but also have something to give. And so the next couple of weeks, I believe we just need to talk about life. Say life. Life. Who of you has life in their inside? Who's tasted life? Who's been without life? Who's ever lived but not had life? Who's living at the moment, but you're not having life? Here's the real authentic, honest question. Because you can live and not have life, right? Nick is still wondering if I'm talking rubbish or not. You'll see just now, Nick. I'll go to scripture. But you can often live but not have life. The bottom line is, the only thing that I can, I've been in moments where on a Monday afternoon, Mondays are crazy. After a big Sunday, Monday is not an easy day. And then Monday night, Men's Monday, might seem like a nice idea for guys going there, but it looks like a mountain to me. And I've got nothing to do, nothing to give. And I'm just like, Lord, what's happening? And then I need to take this one to ballet. That one is phoning. I've got 86 emails and 3 WhatsApps that I now have to attend to. And I'm just like, what am I going to give? Who's ever been, if you've ever led ministry, who's ever been in that space like, what am I going to give? I often find myself there. And then I just need to return to the source. But the bottom line is you need something. You need life to give life. You've heard about something as it's a have to have, right? I believe life is a have to give. It's a have to have that becomes a have to give. Life in itself is a have to have that becomes a have to give. Does that make sense? Hopefully it will just shortly. Quickly, we're going to look over the next couple of weeks. We're going to look at what is life. We're going to look at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We're going to look at speaking life. We're going to look at the bread of life and living waters. We're going to look at the Spirit. We're going to look at a prophecy again and how effective you can bring life through the gifts as well. And then I think George will probably share on us, with us about community and unity and how that brings life to other people. And we need to be a people corporately that has life to give life, but also individually. We have to be people that give life and know how to share life. Who's ever been in a situation where there was no life whatsoever? Everybody there was breathing. They were doing their thing, but there was really no life. And you walk out of there sensing that there was absolutely no life. Who's ever done something that you really like? It's a hobby or it's going out, it's having dinner at a fancy place. It's doing something that the world really thinks, wow. Yet you walk out there feeling that there was no life in there. Come on, be honest. It feels like if you're a Western province and a Springbok supporter, it's much like that this last 2 weeks. With so much anticipation, I finish my work. I do everything in home to just go sit on my behind and watch the rugby and enjoy it. And both last week and this week, the same thing. Lots of expectation, no life. Lots of expectation, no life. But anyway, can't chill or chat about rugby too much, but it's much like that. Sometimes we think that something's going to quench our thirst. It's going to do something to the hunger in your belly, but yet it does nothing for you. There's lots of things like that in life. Now, on the flip side, a more positive thing, natural life. Who's ever seen new life? Okay, oh, you've seen new life. Just quickly in 3 words, explain, or 3 sentences, what does it do to your inside when you see new life? Yeah. One moment there's just this big woman, and the next time there's just this amazing baby. Yes. Yes, I can relate to that. I've been in tears with all 3 births, with all 3 of my daughters, just in absolute tears. And well, this time I didn't even hold back because I know they were coming. So I was it's just the most incredible moment of birth. But not only that, Johan, in the garden, what does it do to your heart when you see new life? Yeah. Not as much as Tani Rihanna, obviously, but very, very much second to that, I'm sure. And gardening is about new life. Where else have you seen new life and it really just stirred your heart? Yes. After building something, new life. Amen. When people change, yeah, that's good. I like that. When God changes me. Anybody else? New life. Well, who freaks out about a puppy or a kitten? Where's the cat people? We've got a couple of cat people in our church working out our salvation.
What do you do when you see a small kitten?
It's cute. Okay, Demi.
And puppies? Who loves new puppies? This is something about new life, right?
We heard this morning, and even the rain that came earlier this year, after the drought, seeing what happens in Teewaterskloof Dam, and hearing those gusts coming down of rain after we've prayed and after we've trusted, and it just bucketing down, that just speaks of new life, and it just stirs something in the human heart. And we've been made for life. We've been made by life for life. Now, recently, we as the small group leaders just came together, and I asked everybody what stands out about a good small group to them, and they each one had different things to say. Johan is an evangelist teacher, and so he said, when people get saved, and so Stephen would say, the voice of the Lord. And I'm like, yes, amen. It's all that you need in a small group is the voice of the Lord. You need nothing else. You don't even need people. You need, but that's not true. And then the teachers will say, yes, if the word is spoken accurately and if it changes people's life. And so the fivefold, each one came with a different definition of what a good small group is all about. But what I heard at the back was, there needs to be life. There needs to be life. If there's life, and for some people in a certain season of their life, it's just to have community. Somebody can just hear me out. Just love on me. Just be close to me. I know people that don't have people close to them ever. Just be close to me and be fine with me, please. And so life can be defined in so many ways, but what stood out was that it needs to be a place of life. Who's ever been in a church where there was no life? Please don't go, you're near. Please don't do that now. It will just rock me in the sermon. Please do that afterwards. But have you ever been in a church environment where there's no life? Yes. Have you ever been in a friendship where there's no life? At the Braai? That was probably chicken, eh? No, not that. Okay. But the bottom line is we all know it's difficult to define when is it not, but we've all had these things. I've got a couple of, I'm pulling a Petri on myself, I've got props. Well, I'm not going to speak about rugby as well, but anyway. You get cups and then you get cups. And so often you can be in a situation where, I don't know if everybody can see this, but it looks the same from the outside, but it's very different on the inside. Does that make sense? Something can look very, a friendship can be very, very the same on the outside, a church or church setting. Somebody that comes with a cute little pamphlet and a story about Jesus versus another one. One can have so much life in it and one can have absolutely none. Both have lips that move. One carries substance, one doesn't. And why are we saying all of this? Because the Lord say, hey guys, care for the lost. Guys, have compassionate hearts. But we need to be the cup that has the substance, that has the life. We'll get back to the cups just now. What is life? Just quickly, now we spoke about new natural life and how that just stirs something cute in your heart. But apparently not too many of you are fond of kittens. But in a more spiritual sense, talk to me about what is life. Define it. What is life and where have you experienced it? Obviously, this morning, there was life. God gave me a weird scripture that I didn't know. I read that out. There, Demi, in the whole of worship, she had a word. She had a sketch that said exactly the same thing. For me, personally, this need not be for you. But for me, boom, life. I'm like, I just light up. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. How does this work, Lord? There was a moment of life. Explain to me, where have you sensed, tasted life? When you break free from something else, something that Bernard shared this morning. When you break free from something else, that's life. I like that. Yes. Anything else? There's millions. Worship, yes. Yes. Have you ever been in a worship setting where there was no life? We're not knocking anybody. We're not going to think of anybody. That's not what we're going to do. But we need to be honest about if we want to invite somebody in, if we want to say, hey, come to me at the church, we don't want to give people a formula. We want to make sure there's substance. They can decide if they're going to drink, by the way. I can't force, hey, Umyan, drink. But he just does not like cappuccinos. In fact, he does. Oh, he likes that as well, which is a problem, I think. But there you go. Drink this. You can't do that. But we need to make sure there's something in the cup. So worship, and yes, worship can also be a setting where there's sometimes no life.
Anywhere else? Where have you tasted and experienced life? When you're under pressure?
The presence of God in the midst of life pressure. He doesn't take away the pressure, but His presence comes and just brings clarity. Yes.
And then I've had that. Albert?
In the Word. Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to get to that. Demi?
Kittens. No, not kittens.
Amen. Giving their all.
Amen. Okay. Amen. So somebody's authentic and real and giving their all in a talent or something that the Lord has given them. That sounds pretty much like life to me.
Now quickly, let's go to the Word. In the New Testament, there's three words for life in the Greek. One is bios. The other one, I went to go listen and Google how to pronounce it in Greek, but it's psyche, or something like that, but it's psyche or psyche in Afrikaans. It says so easy in Afrikaans. So if I drop the Afrikaans down again, please forgive me. But it's bios, psyche, and Zoe. Who's ever heard of Zoe life, by the way? You've heard of Zoe life. Now, just quickly, before reading all of that stuff, you go back to the previous slide, please. Which of the three do you think is the godly one that sustains? Which is the one that we tasted this morning? Well, I probably needed the bios life, and I needed the psyche life as well, but the one that we've tasted this morning, the one that hopefully we are tasting at the moment, is the Zoe life. And we need to now just quickly look at these three definitions. Now, the first one is the bios you see in Luke 8:14. It speaks of anxieties and riches and pleasures of life. So it speaks of something that is of the bios. This bios, obviously, you get in biology, and it speaks of the physical body. Everybody here, just look up, please. Just quickly wake up. Thank you. Thank you. Everybody is awake and alive biologically. Am I right? Yes. So that's the one Greek life that you need to have. Praise the Here, ons almal het dit. If you don't have it, we can pray for you. The second one, as I says, the psyche. Or was it Sechie? In Matthew 16:25, it says, "For whoever wants to save his soul life shall lose it." Now that life there speaks of your soul. Who knows what the soul is? The soul is your mind, emotion, and will. I'm quickly going to run through it. We'll recap later or again soon. It's your mind, emotion, and will. That's the second type of Greek life that we have. And then the third one, and this is the one that we're going to hone in and make sure, Lord, if you have the redemption of the lost on your heart, may we be a people of Zoe life. There, you've got the whole sermon there, just right there. John 1:4 says, "In him was life, and life was the light of men." So here the Greek speaks of an uncreated eternal life of God, the divine life possessed by God. Now if you go through the Strong's definition there below, you'll see it's just life literally. Figuratively, we're talking about it in a spiritual sense. It is of the absolute fullness of life, both essential and ethical, which belongs to God. Now, everywhere, if you go look at the definitions, the nice thing that they say, it is a God kind of life. Please say, God kind of life. Because that's the thing that you should remember. We're talking about Zoe life, that we should have life and be givers of life. But not just your biological life, not just your psychological life. The Zoe life, the eternal life, the God-like life of God that you can give. Who's ever heard a sermon with only the bios life and lots of the psychological life, but no Zoe life? Who's ever heard that? Amen. Who's ever been in a conversation where there's lots of bios life, or just enough bios life, not too much? That's a joke. Not too much bios life. In other words, they're hardly awake. The psychological life, but there's no Zoe. Can you have this deep, amazing, heart-filled experience, soul experience without Zoe life? Of course. Yes, you can. The world is full of it. That's what sick... Well, anyway. We can deal with that topic at a later stage. I'm going to go down a rabbit hole that I'm going to struggle to get out if I go down there. We're going to focus on Zoe life, and that's what we need. It's called the God kind of life. Now, quickly, let's go into Scripture. If we want to
have a heart for the lost, if we're going to be compassionate about them, as Petri said, to be redeemers that both protect and provide for people, it needs to come from a place not of only bios life or psychological, in other words, a soul life, from your soul, from, oh, it's a good idea. It should come from a stream that is called Zoe life. In other words, God needs to be part of the plan. Amen? And I need that before I can give that, right? Now, how did you get your Zoe life the first time? This is not a very good, difficult question. If it is, we've got a problem. Where did you get your first Zoe life? When you got saved, hallelujah. Thank you, Stephen. Yes, when you get saved, you are birthed into the eternal God-like life. For the first time, boom, there it is. Boom. Anyway, there it is. There it is. I've come that you might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Christ said, I came so that you can have life and life in abundance. The other translation I actually like more. Life and life in abundance. Who of you have life and life in abundance? Who of you are living life and life in abundance? Like just Zoe is just oozing out of you. And you're kind of, who's got the potential that Zoe life can ooze from you constantly? Albert, hallelujah. We all have that because we are saved. The first thing is you need to be born again. Jesus came to give us Zoe God-like life. Amen? Not only a bios life given to us by the Lord, not only our soul, body, mind, and will, but a Zoe God-like supernatural life that will set us clear from other people, not to judge, no, but just to say this is the real deal. This is the real deal. This is the real life. And it's a fine line because you can't necessarily see which one's got the Zoe and which not because it looks the same from the outside. There was a Retief. Praise God, he's not here anymore. There was a Retief 15 years ago. Kind of the package looked kind of the same. A bit more rough around the edges now and again. And his mouth definitely sounded much different than this guy's life. But the inside was different. For there was no Zoe life in there. There was a fair amount of biology there. There was a fair amount of psyche there, but there was no Zoe there. And so after God graciously came to save me, he said, here's real life. And I'm like, praise God. The real deal. And so this is what he's been given to all of us. By our natural birth, second point, by our natural birth, we human beings possess only a soulish life and a physical life. But when we believe in Christ, we receive Zoe life. The one that sets us apart. The one that we need. The one that we need to share with other people. Let's go to John 3:16. The one that we all know. But look how beautiful it says it here. We're going to look at that Greek word again. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting. What Greek one would this be? Zoe, definitely, yes. But will have everlasting Zoe life. Everlasting Zoe life. That's the other thing. It's the bio life and the psyche life or the psyche life. It's got a bit of a limit to it. But Zoe life, it's got no limit. So when somebody walks in this door and say, I'm thirsty, I'm hungry, we can give them a whole lot of biology life. We can give them a whole life of deep psychological life. Soul, again, deep things out of the soul, but what will have eternal value on anybody that walks through that door is only if we do it with God. And say, here is Zoe life. I cannot produce it, but I've got to taste it myself and I want to share Zoe life with you. And that will change them eternally. Zoe life makes new life. I think that was the first thing that was said this morning or earlier. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. So beautifully, our Bernard also shared out of his life. On Friday night, even though he's received the Spirit, even though he's received Zoe life, there was a moment where the Lord took away old, and reaffirmed and given him Zoe life and freedom in that area. I believe there's others of us that experienced that this morning as well, if we're going to be honest. Because, hey guys, we can fake it. Our biology life and our psyche, our psychological life, is such good imitators that we very often can mimic Zoe life. Church, are you hearing me? I can look very alive on Instagram, but I'm dying inside at home. I try to now and again put a reality gram pic on there, but it's actually no clue of what it's really like sometimes if we want to kill each other at home. And so unfortunately, in Christian circles, we might do that as well. So we can try to fake Zoe life and say, "Hoo, kumbaya, there's lots of life, we love each other." Yet the fruit of that is just nowhere. But people know. Because you know what the thing is? I thought about this week, I believe we're all made for Zoe life. And yet you will forever wander this earth. Nothing will ever be enough. It's a good song that he actually sent on to me once. Nothing will ever be enough. You will keep on wandering. You'll walk your feet till they bleed. But you will never get until you receive Zoe life as a person. There's no drug. There's no ecstasy. There's no experience. There's no flesh. There's no person, albeit in whichever shape, form, or size you want it, that can ever hit the spot as Zoe life can hit. That's just the way we've put together. I'm just the messenger. Second thing is, when we receive Zoe life, quickly turn to your neighbor and say, "I have Zoe life." Yeah, that sounded amazing. "I have Zoe life." Okay, yes, I'll bring all my lost neighbors to you. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I have Zoe life with faith." Do you? Yeah, it. Amen. You have that. Second thing, when we receive Zoe life, as we get saved, we get the God-like life, but we also get God's nature. Was there anything special about Bernard? I have the privilege to lead. Demi had the privilege to bring a word. Petra had the privilege to bring a word. But is there anything special about our biology or our psychological life? In other words, our soul man and our flesh, that we could this morning bring these words or actions to you, including the rain that Tia brought, that the Lord brought through Tia. Is there anything special? No, it's not. It's the mere fact that the Zoe life is with us. And in fact, we are partnering with God, the God-like life of the Spirit in this place. And that is what it is. That is what brings forth His natures by His grace. John 5:26 says, "As the Father hath life in Himself, so hath given to the Son to have life in Himself." So God has life in Himself. That's what we're all after. It's not in the house. It's not in the working from morning, early morning to late at night, earning a lot of money to do what you want. Because you will do what you want, but you'll never have it if it's not in a Zoe manner. If it's not with Zoe life. So God had life in Himself, and He gave that to His Son, Jesus. And what did His Son do to us? He gave us that life as well. John 1:4 said, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Listen closely. In Him, Christ, was life. And this life was the light of men. Listen up, church. In Him, Christ, was life. And this life was the light of men. Are we called to be the light of this world with Christ? Are we called to be light in this community? Now, the same can be said. In Him was Zoe life. In Him was Zoe life. Guys, in nothing else under the sun is there Zoe life unless it is from Him, in Him, through Him, and for Him. Nothing else. You can page through magazines, you can go through papers, you can switch on the television, you can go through it, you can go on social media as far and as wide as you possibly want, but if it's not with a Zoe life, it will not touch the deep end of our souls. It will not have eternal value. In Him was Zoe life, and the Zoe life was the light of men. So, if the Lord is speaking to this church community and say, "Be a light to the world," we can be a light, lechi, 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 but we cannot shine unless it is Him through us. We unbelievably shared about the mere fact that it is grace. It is by grace that we can be used and used by the Lord. So I have the nature of God and can give it away daily. That's the bottom line. I have the nature of God and I can give it away daily. Is it something that you really believe? Who's had Zoe life moments with other people where you could share that water, where you can share that light? Who had that? Just quickly hands up. And it's not, please, hopefully my heart is that this is not a, we're not a bunch of people that need to work and prove ourselves, because then we're going to miss it. But it is lacquer. It's really fun to have moments where you see, I've got nothing to give. You walk into somewhere and boom, the Lord just does something miraculous. You're like, whoa, that was awesome. I want more of that. More Zoe life moments where I receive and from that I can give. And so I think we've been called not to do it on a Sunday or on a Wednesday or when we have these gatherings, but that Zoe life and a Zoe life lifestyle becomes an everyday thing. Who can say that they honestly have knuckled that down? Amen. Who's encouraged to maybe more walk in that to a greater extent? To know that whatever I'm doing is actually life creating because I'm doing it with God. Whatever I'm doing, I'm walking in the Spirit. It's by the Spirit of God and it's creating life wherever I go. That'll be quite cool. And you know the toughest place to do that? Where is that? It's not work. Yes. For you it is work. But it's at home. I can be all Zoe here in front of the church, but I need to be all Zoe there at home. It's not that easy being all Zoe there at home. Have you ever heard about the reflux and krampe? Jesus help us. Now, a Zoe life lifestyle is one that I believe is very, very simple. In a very simple way, but it's merely a life that is lived by the Spirit of God. If we're going to walk by the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God is what? Is the God-like life. The God-like life giver. I'll show you in Scripture now where it stands. But if I walk by the Spirit of God, wherever you go, there will be life. You will touch people's lives. Now, by the way, would it always be moonshine and roses? Will it always be glitz and glamour? Will it always be light and action? No, sometimes Zoe life is to come in a Sunday morning, in spite of wanting to sleep or having to look after your family for quite a while, and coming to do setup. That's sometimes Zoe life. Serving in church, this is not a call to serve, hear my heart. Serving in church, loving your neighbor, picking up behind you at home, washing the dishes, that can be moments of Zoe life. It's not always just raising people from the dead or praying in tongues. We were on the receiving end of a lot of lots of Zoe life recently, with people bringing us supper. People that work long hours, that don't have the flexibility that we have, and yet they do all the trouble to make the food and come and drop it at our place, at our leisure, which was such a humbling thing, and I'm so thankful for it. But there was Zoe life moments. So Zoe life is not always, boom, with a nice filter. It's sometimes laying down your life as well. Amen. That was just on the side. That was for free. I didn't plan that, but that's just for you. First thing, let's go look at Scripture. John 6. We're going to come back to this at a later stage in our series, but there's one verse that I'm going to hone in on, but I want to read the context for you from verse 53. So Jesus said to them, I assure you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you do not have life in yourselves. There's enough there to preach on for 6 months, but we'll get back. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Want Zoe life? Eat Jesus. Hey, let's get t-shirts. That'll go down well. When you go fetch your kids at school, eat Jesus, have Zoe. Like, are you on drugs? No, I'm full of life. Like, just stay away from me, you're weird. I'll wear it to the gym. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. The one who feeds on me will live because of me. If we want to give life, we want to be redemption agents, we want to be fishers of men, we need to feed on Jesus. Eat a lot of Zoe to give a lot of Zoe. This is the bread that I came down from heaven. It is not like the manna your fathers ate and died. We don't want to give a water. We don't want to give a life that brings forth death in any of it. We don't want to give a deep psychological, deep soulish life or a bios life to people. We want to give God to people because God is in us. And in fact, we're just playing along as He's doing His supernatural work. The one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. And then he goes on and listen up. Therefore, when many of his disciples heard this, they said, this teaching is hard. Who can accept it? Imagine life being presented to you, a real life, eternal life. This is tough. Don't we often find ourselves in this crossroads as Christians? If the blessings run dry, the psychological, the soulish blessing of following the Lord, even the biological, the physical, the fleshly blessings of following the Lord, because there is such things as well. If they're not there, as he faya bumni botni, this teaching is a bit hard. It's not that easy to get Zoe all the time. It might feel like, but take heart. Verse 61. Jesus, knowing himself that his disciples were complaining about this, asked them, does this offend you? Guys, Zoe life and the way in which it comes might sometimes offend the flesh and offend our culture. If we were three people in here this morning and one guy with one string on his guitar and a guy standing here not knowing exactly what to say, but God decided to pitch, will we willingly bring in people? Or does it need to fit a certain mold, look a certain way? I've just seen that Zoe life kind of hides itself sometimes in obscure places. It's not always that socially media friendly. It's not always that clean cut. Zoe life sometimes comes from a rock with rough edges. It doesn't come in the tailor suit. It doesn't come with a limo. It doesn't always. It can. Hear my heart. I'm not knocking too hard on culture. But I do say we need to be careful. Which reminds me, praise God, I've got a prop. Because sometimes Zoe decides to pitch in this. Leer blikke maak die meeste geraas, but it's not applicable now. Sometimes, Zoe life pitches in an obscure place. And we, Charles brought a beautiful word saying, sometimes we, this morning in intercession, saying we often don't walk in faith, but we see things in the flesh. And so the Lord might challenge us sometimes, and He's looking for a people that will not judge the container, but seek for and discern the Zoe life in there. That's why this building thing freaked me out. I wanted a nice venue that you just lock up and go. Nice church. Church in a box. Okay, hi guys. Kumbaya, God rocks. Just close the door. Just walk away. Christ says, no. I'm going to hide my Zoe life. I'm going to hide my stream of water in a weird place. Where if it offends the flesh, then it offends the flesh, including my own. That's just the way of getting to know the Lord. I'm not even at the good part yet. Then what if you were to observe the Son of Man ascending where he has been before or gone before? Verse 63, here's the crux. The Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh doesn't help at all. The words that I've spoken to you, they are Spirit and they are life. Other translation says, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The biology, the psyche, unless with Zoe, unless with the Spirit, counts for nothing. Guys, we can run programs that will astound people. We can look so smooth and sorted out individually, because this is not just a church thing. This is individual life. I can look the part, but on the inside and the backstage, I'm not the part. Unless I'm doing it with a stream of Zoe life. Unless there's the eternal value and unless I do it with the Spirit. I'm going to move on, and this is actually the main point that I think that we all should
receive of the Lord, and us as a church that I'm praying for, is that we'll be a discerning people. I pray for discernment. I pray for discernment when we walk into this culture. I pray for discernment when we walk into a conversation. I pray for discernment when we go to work. I pray for discernment when we're on the road, when we're on our laptops. I pray for discernment. And what should we be discerning for, you might ask? Where's the Zoe life? God, where are you at? God, is this you? God, what do you taste like? God, I need you. I want you. I'm thirsty for you, because only that will satisfy. There's lots of streams. Guys, I can be brilliant at golfing and it can look so cool that I golf all day and I'm brilliant at it and I look the part and I get in my SUV and I go to my mansion and it looks like this amazing thing. But if Zoe life is not in it, it will die. It will rot. It will stink. Now, there's different ways in which the enemy comes and says, here's life for you. He's portraying different things. He's done that for me. He's just saying, here's life, here's life, here's life. And we need you to be as discerning people. Even spiritually, you can hop onto Google, you can hop onto YouTube, you can listen to millions of things, but we need to be a discerning people. Where's the Zoe life? Is this the Spirit of God or is this not? When we lead, we need to quiet down our souls and say, Lord, I can do this. There's people in this place that can run church, can preach, can run small groups, can do this eyes closed. But you know what? You can also do it without God and it can look the part. It can look pretty much the same. I've got dirty water here. Don't have time to do the old trick, but you can just think. You can have one with living water and one with dirty water, and it looks the same from the inside or from the outside. But it's not the same. And often the Lord just comes and He challenges you and says, hey, are you willing to be part of this? And I'm not speaking church. It can be your neighbor. You're like, oh, can't believe. Can you? Did you hear that music? Did you see their rubbish? Do you see all their bottles? It's just cling, 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 cling. And God comes and He brings a word. Boom! Your neighbor prophesies the life out of you. Bam! There you go. Zoe for you. Anyway. Praise God. So how do we discern? I have no idea. I need to preach on it. I know it, but I have no 100% idea. This is how you discern. So I've just put what I believe and what I've seen and experienced in my life. How do I discern? Is the Zoe life or is this biology or bios life and psyche life? How do I do it and what do I believe is important? It's four things. It's just this. You need to know the person of the Holy Spirit. How do I discern Johan? Because I know Johan. That's Johan. I can hear him. It can even be dark these days and I can hear Johan. His kids could discern him quicker because they knew him longer and earlier in life. But I now know him and I can discern and hear him. Sounds like a very obvious point. But I think it's a very proper point because I want to, if you come back from a meeting or you went to this amazing concert of this amazing gospel band, I want to hear. How was it? You're like, I didn't sense the Spirit. Or I didn't believe that the Lord was in it. Or you went to this Kukanop, to a very, 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 very traditional church for a funeral. And you come back and you say, God just rocked me. He just broke my heart. He just broke my heart for the lost. He just spoke directly out of His word into my life. In Kukanop, in a very conservative church, by people wearing ties. Imagine. Net 'n grappie. Bless people that wear ties. You'll discern if it's Zoe life if you know the carrier of life. So I want to encourage us. You want to give something to somebody? Know the person of the Holy Spirit. My sheep will know my voice and the voice of another they will not follow. Don't have time for the rest. The second thing, Albert mentioned it. What we need is we need the Word of God. You need the Word of God in your life to be able to discern, is this soul? You know what? Your soul man can get pretty excited about stuff. Whose flesh has ever been excited about naughty stuff? Three honest guys. Praise God. Lots of work. Obviously,
it can very much feel like lots of excitement. This is so exciting, it must be the Lord. Yeah. But it's the soul. It's the bios, it's the flesh. And so that's why the Word of God comes like what? Boom. Sword. Saying,
That's got, Zoe's got absolutely nothing to do with that.
Please just back out of there. For the Word of God is alive and active. We're talking about life. The Word of God is alive and active. Say, alive and active. It's not this thing that you have to read in the morning and you need Bernard to come and play in the background so that you can read it. No. For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing what? Soul, psyche, and spirit. Zoe. Boom.
Joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart.
Guys, I for one know that I need this sword to daily sort out this heart. For I can very easily think something is Zoe, but it is not Zoe. And so we need the Word of God. Third thing is family and partnership. What is the way in which I discern if something is of the Lord or not of the Lord? It's not just the package.
The package can very much fool you. The package can very much fool you.
I've got partnership. Firstly, I partner with the Lord, I partner with the Spirit, and I partner with people whose fruit I know. And I bounce it with them to discern. Now, I can't get everybody that is my accountability partners in there when I'm listening or reading something every time. But if it's big moves, big things in my life, I go to the people that I trust, whose fruit I know, not whose gifts. Not the people that can heal people and prophesy, but the fruit I know, because the Word says you'll know them by their fruit, not their gifts, by the way. And I just bounce it with them. And the fourth thing is, how do I discern if something is Zoe or not? At the end of the day, you'll see the fruit of it. You'll see the fruit of that. Now, please don't mistake this again for discipline. Please don't again, don't associate this with having a good habit. If you for a week now start reading your Bible and you don't see the Zoe fruit of it because you're still tired, the coffee is still better than the word you're reading. Just keep on. Keep on sowing. For you're aligning yourself with the Word of God and you will reap the fruit. You will reap the Zoe fruit. Zoe life doesn't always come in a comfortable package. May I say that last time? Zoe life doesn't always come in a comfortable package. One of which was a perfect guy hanging on a cross, bleeding to death. That was Zoe life. Just thought I'd put it out there. It's other guys hanging upside down, losing their lives for the sake of the gospel. It's moments of Zoe life. Was that a bit too far? Let's end off. Will you stand with me, please? For the Spirit gives life, the flesh doesn't help at all. For the Spirit gives life, but the flesh doesn't help at all. I said to you, it's a bit corny. Zoe or nothing. I think that's another t-shirt we can get. Zoe or nothing. I'm not saying that was your girlfriend when you were 16. Please, don't get confused. Zoe life or nothing. It's probably written somewhere, somewhere in a bunker bed. But you know what I'm saying. The Zoe life of God, the God-like life, is the only thing that we have to have, but it's also not a have to have, it is also a have to give. If it's true Zoe life, you cannot but give it away. It'll get stale, and then it's not that Zoe anymore. So I believe we're ambassadors of heaven, we're custodians and carriers of life. That's what we are. We're not going to invite anybody in to church because it's the best coffee in the hood, let's be honest. It is good, but it's not the best. Not because our touchies is really gathering momentum. Not because our worship is amazing. The only reason why we will invite people, we'll love on people, is because life has already done its work in us. And we just want to share that life. And it's not even church related. It's just the way life works. It's just the way in which Zoe life works. And if ever we find ourselves in a place, which I often do, where I'm actually in bios and psyche mode now, then we need to stop. We need to stop, as Johan actually brought so beautifully this morning. Stop. Cease your labors and say, Lord, where's the stream of Zoe life again? Where's the pulsating pump of Zoe life again? Where's the hope and the faith and the grace in my heart again? So that it is not a dead work, but that Zoe life can just be exchanged through my life. Let's close our eyes. Father God, thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you've called us as a people. Thank you, Lord, that we are born again. In other words, we have this life in us. Thank you, God, that this life is full of people seeking, running, yearning for life. And there's lots of biological, there's lots of psychological things that we can go and look for it, but it will never satisfy unless it's the God-like Zoe life of God that is eternal and that is in and of you. Thank you, Lord, that we also know that it's actually sometimes hidden in obscure places, and it calls for a humble heart to say yes. It calls for a hungry soul to say okay. It calls for a thirsty individual to say, okay, I will drink. And then you just bless them with it. Lord, I come again just personally, me and my house, say we're thirsty, Lord, for that. But I also declare that we are a church that can only survive upon that life and not merely the others. And not only will we ever want to hoard it up because it's impossible to hoard you up. But Lord, I pray that freely you will flow into our lives afresh. And please freely flow into this community, into this school, into the communities where we live, into our businesses, into the schools where we teach, onto the streets that we walk, onto the phones that we answer, onto the WhatsApps that we reply, onto the moments with our kids, onto the moments with our spouses, onto the moments with our in-laws, onto the moments with our friends. Come and flood us with your life. That is eternal. We thank you for that grace, Lord. And very simply, this morning, I'm just going to stick, I believe, to one thing. That is, if you are trusting the Lord for better discernment, to discern when is it flesh, when is it just soul, and when is it truly spirit, in other words, Zoe, just raise your hand. We're going to pray for grace that we can properly discern. Not judge, not criticize, discern. We're not called to judge this cup, by the way. We're not called to judge this cup. Because guess what? I'm this cup to some people. I'm this cup to some people and I'm this cup to some people. It's just the way life works. But it's not about what cup I am. It's about what's inside my cup. So Lord, just with these hands raised, Lord, we just want to come declare, Lord, that we have Zoe life by your grace. We have your spirit. And Spirit of God, thank you that you also have given everybody discernment. It's not only the gift. That is for the church as well. But we have all received discernment. Lord, help us to be a discerning people. That albeit socially, albeit work, albeit finance, albeit friendships, albeit church, albeit teaching, albeit that it looks very spiritual, Lord. Help us to discern. Help us to develop a beautiful taste. Not a critical tongue, but a beautiful taste for that which is pure, for that which is Zoe, for that which is God life. And help us to resist that which is not. Help us to feed upon that which is eternal and can be replicated in other lives. In Jesus' name. And forgive us, forgive me, wherever we've drank from the wells that will not satisfy. And expected to be satisfied from wells that will not. Help us to discern and help us also not to only to discern, but also to find upon and find within ourselves these streams of water that we can freely share. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen.